Dankie DB, ons eer jou en ons ontvang van jou. Dit is lekker dat jy so is. En julle ook weer eens.
Thank you Retief. And for the pizza we're going to have later. That's part of the job. You have to socialize with other pastors. It's hard for them introverts, but for me, it's part of the blessing of work. I'm very grateful to my ministry team. Thank you guys for being here, and I thank you that you're going to minister with us tonight. Looking forward to that. I won't be taking up all the time speaking. We'll do some ministry. Are you keen for God to just heal some hearts tonight? If he needs to heal you, set you free. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we are eagerly expecting your word and your spirit to do something inside of us. Renew us. Bring life. Revelation that causes action and repentance in us. Renew us. Use me tonight in Jesus' name. Use our ministry team. Fill us with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, so 2 weeks ago we laid a foundation about, we laid out the basics of a theology of work. Who of you were here 2 weeks ago when we did that? Half of you. So for the other half, I'm going to summarize that quickly if you didn't listen to it in the meantime, and with specific emphasis and reason why I would summarize that quickly, because you know we forget quite easily as well. And then I'm going to do the rest of the sermon that I couldn't finish last time, and then we're going to minister into that. Is that okay? That's good. Can you say his blessing? His business, his boundaries. I hope that helps you to remember this little introduction to the theology of work. Work is given to us as a blessing from God, not a curse. Work is given to us because God works. We're made in his image. He delights in work. He loves it. He wants us to delight in it and love it. God creates order from chaos. He wants us to create order from chaos. God makes beautiful things. He wants us to make beautiful things. God loves that. We see from creation. He gives it to us to enjoy. A blessing to enjoy. He's glorified when we enjoy our work. It is given, it says in Genesis 1:28, it says God blessed them and gave them a lot of work. All right, now some of that work is, there's a variety of work given there, but ruling over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and every living creature is a big job. If I would give you that job right now, you would feel rather burdened. But it was given as a blessing. We would often say that the blessing is in the remuneration we receive. There is no inherent blessing in the work. I do the work, but then there is blessing at the end of the month. Okay? Is more money more blessed? Maybe, not necessarily, not related. Okay? It's not the blessing. The blessing is in the work. Remuneration and work was separated. It was separate from each other at creation. You were his child, so he provided for you, and you got work as a blessing. You didn't do the work to get the food. Then came the fall, and then came a lot of stuff. And now the world is under a curse, and part of the curse is that by the sweat of your brow you will eat. But we just sang, those whom the Son set free is free indeed. So we're free from the curse if we believe in Jesus. So you are not under the curse if you wondered. you who work, you do not work because of the curse. You can decide that and stay under it, or say, no, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb to do things the way that they were, and to reflect to how they will be in eternity. I will renounce the curse over my life. For many of us, work has been a curse. For many of us, work has hurt us. If you have been hurt in work, at work, raise your hand. Most of you. We've been hurt by work. Now listen to this. But work, if we do not understand that it is God who pays the bills, not work, if we think work pays the bills, then it is the abuser that's also paying the bills that I just cannot let go of. And then I've got an abusive relationship with work. It hurts me, but it pays the bills. And God wants to set us free from that. It starts by just simply declaring and saying, God, I reject this curse. And I receive it. I receive the pre-fall blessing that work is. And then we trust God that that would start working its way out into our lives. But for those of us that have been hurt like that and have been trapped by that, like that, I believe God wants to heal us. The song summarizes it perfectly. Perfectly. We're going to sing it again at the end. So, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So you're free from the curse, number one. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. You do not work for the money. Your Father looks out for you. You need those two things settled. Otherwise, you'll be in a bad spot at work. It won't be a blessing. You can be abused by it. So we are redeemed to live in this way and to be redeemed, called to be redemptive agents in this world. And you know what? There is an end to work that glorifies God, I believe, that is not in the outcome of the work. Because many times we think, well, the outcome of my work is not that glorious. No one seems to get saved in my architectural designs. I've never sent it to anyone, and then they replied and said, I just gave my life to Jesus. So what am I doing? It's because with our mindset, we think that the end must produce something that will bring glory to God. So we think what Retief does or what Reinhard Bonnke does is ultimately glorifying to God, because the end is something that is clearly, obviously heavenly. The outcome, it's outcome-based. We think glorifying God is the outcome-based. But glorifying God, so much of glorifying Him is not in the outcome, but in the fact that we actually just enjoy what He has given us, like a son and a daughter would enjoy the bicycle that you've given them, rather than to try and win, and when they see they can't win, they don't want to use it anymore. That would seem rather cold and unfortunate to you as a parent. But if they would enjoy it and they would be thankful for it and they would want to do it with you, let's use the word glory, but you would feel glory in that. If you truly just want to glorify God with your life, and there's many of us that have to lay down this desire for greatness in the kingdom. If we can't see the end to be greatness, a big business for God, many souls for God, many churches, lots of money for the kingdom, we seem that it feels to us it's not really it. No. That's you. That's your glory that you are looking for. Just wrapped with a lot of crosses and fishes and stuff. God's glory can definitely come in big. Yes. That's not what we're looking for. And when it comes to work, are you willing to just work, receive it as a blessing, enjoy it, get involved in His business and as He leads you, and to stay within His boundaries that He gives us, that we're going to talk about just now, working like He did, working with Him, working with a godly character. Because the outcomes He gives us to achieve is a privilege that we get to partner with Him in. It's not on us. He can do it without us. Actually better. It's a privilege that we get to be on that journey with Him, the thing that He wants to do. So we can't be like little children and have the privilege to go on a holiday to the Kruger National Park, but then we just want to be the first one to see everything, and we fight our siblings and say we've seen the most animals, and we just make the thingy terrible because we're going to get the best outcome out of this holiday and show that I've won and I've done this in the best way I possibly could. I was the best steward of this holiday. I saw 568 animals. How many did you see? Exactly. Your father and mother did not enjoy you on that holiday. How much do we think God enjoys us often at work and in our lives? Enjoy Him, be with Him, enjoy the journey with Him. It is given as a blessing. And get away from the thing, the money thing, because if you're stuck in the I'm working for money thing too much, it's because of the curse that you still feel you have to work for. So we're going to pray into that stuff later, okay? Now, Scripture also says, if you do not work, you shall not eat, which is because God will not be mocked. So you cannot just lie on your back and say, well, I want the one part of the deal, but I don't want your image. I don't want your image that works. Just want your provision that does not work. He's not mocked in that way. So it doesn't work like that. Okay? Yet they are distinctly separated. Genesis 1 and Matthew 6. Cool. Now, very quickly, getting involved in His business. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the fact of the matter is that God's a working God, and that Jesus lived in perfect response to His Father, and the work He did, and the work that God has been doing throughout the ages has not been pastoral and missionary work. It has been everything from conservationism to civil engineering to winemaking to carpentry. He's a judge, he's a lawyer, he's a financial advisor, he is a lot of stuff. A lot of you guys are doing. That's what He's been doing through the ages, okay? So don't feel that the work you do doesn't somehow not matter that much. So the question to ask here, the question I want to ask in that first part of the blessing is, have you been abused by work, and are you in an abusive relationship with it? Are you hurt by it in the slightest? We'd like to pray for you afterwards. What I want to ask here is, are you busy working in His business, in His kingdom, but then it doesn't start with a B, and I wanted to have blessing business boundaries, so I couldn't say kingdom, I had to say business, but you understand what I mean. It's not about making money for Jesus, okay? That is some of your callings maybe, but it seems to be the calling of many more than I believe should have it. That was a joke. Did you get that joke? Thank you, Edna. All right. Maybe it's just because everybody has that calling. Have you been busy with your own kingdom, or do you know that you're in His kingdom? Have you seen the Father and are you responding? Have you responded to Him, and that's why you do what you do? Or have you constructed this because it will be good for you and nice for you and good for your future, and therefore you do what you do? Is it your kingdom or His kingdom that you are busy with at work. Expectations of others to prove yourself, whatever it might be, they just might be, some of us suggest to say, well, a lot of his kingdom, but a lot of my kingdom also. I need to get this out. I need to get this sorted out. Okay? And then the last part of last week's sermon was about his boundaries that we are to stay within. The Sabbath, it's a principle, it's not a law, but God said it is there for us. Without it, we fall apart. With it, we learn to thrive in God's way of living. So to have a day, a week where we rest, even if work is way too much for us to be able to rest, it is faith in God that says rest will be better for the work to get done than work because of God. I have faith in God. That's one of the greatest things that Sabbath teaches us. And we also rest. We also spoke about the fact that a part of that Sabbath rest, that it's not exactly captured in the 7 day thing, but it seemed that when God created the heavens and the earth and he showed us how we work, he didn't work at night, right? It's evening and morning. Then he didn't work at night. And in the cool of the day, he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. So it seemed that was family time in the mornings and the evenings. And then he worked. And he could still look at his work after the day's work and see the work and say it was good. So there's still a bit of light left. And then, now, that wouldn't necessarily work that well if you preach that way up, you know, too high or too low in the world, because there the night and day doesn't work out that well, I've realized. The one time when I preached this message in Finland, which I haven't. Are you staying within his Sabbath boundary? Is that down in your life? That glorifies him and makes sure that you thrive and you don't die. The next one is, are you staying within peace? Are you staying within peace? Because anxiety is a sin, according to Scripture. It's a sin. Therefore, it means you've got the power over it. It doesn't, you're not a victim of anxiety. You've got the power over anxiety. You can say to anxiety, no. Now, that's difficult if it's been too much, because then it becomes habit, and you've got brain pikies that is formed, and it seems that you are a victim to it. But ask God to break that. You're not a victim of anxiety. Can I say that to you? It doesn't matter what happens at work, you're not a victim of anxiety. You can say no. When it comes, Scripture says, take it like a rugby ball, pass it on to God and say, you score the try, please, I can't. And the peace of God will guard your hearts. But we need to repent from anxiety, not say, God, help me, because then we're not taking ownership of the problem. Are you with me? We're not victims to anxiety. We need to repent of it. Because anxiety, yeah, is outside of the will of God, and when it comes, we need to deal with that. And it's a simple prayer that you could just pray and say, God, here comes this email. I'm going to give it to you. That conversation just happened. God, I'm giving it to you. It's as simple as that. That's a simple start. But we need to live inside of his boundaries, and anxiety is outside of that. It might sound harsh, but actually he wants to say that you aren't a victim. You can do something about this. Are you hearing that? The last part of his boundaries is staying within love and wisdom. So if you feel that what you need to do at work requires from you to move outside of love, 1 Corinthians 13, love, to be patient and kind, not irritable or rude or resentful. If you can't be patient and kind, you feel sometimes you just have to be a little bit rude and resentful, and sometimes you just get irritable and you think you are allowed to because of the boss. You're not. We need to stay within the boundary of love. It's health to our own soul as well. to not allow those things in us. And wisdom, which says, James 3, wisdom, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then open to reason, then full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, sincere. That's wisdom. That's working wisely, seeking what is pure and peaceable and gentle and open to reason, impartial and sincere. We need to stay within that. Is what I'm doing gentle? Is what I'm doing pure? Is what I'm doing open to, am I open to reason? Staying within those boundaries keeps us safe, it loves others, and it glorifies God. So when we are busy with an outcome-driven thing, it might be very much kingdom-orientated. Souls might get saved, but if I'm with outside of the boundaries of love and wisdom and anxiety and Sabbath, my Father is not glorified by me. He might be glorified by the outcomes of those getting saved, but he's not glorified by my life. He wants to be glorified through your life. And you can do that at work. Doesn't matter what you do. Are you with me? Let go of the outcome and work with him. So now, the little bit I'm going to add, and then we're going to minister. Demi, are you guys ready at the end to jam a little bit? That last song we had, just have to at least do him again right at the end. That was a good song selection there. All right, so what I would like to add very briefly today, I think is very helpful, is now we ask, many of us would come to the question very often and regularly in our life, and also when we're not sure what we're busy doing, we ask ourselves, so what should I do? What should I do, God? So what job should I do? What work should I do, God? And whether you are on a change, or whether you have been in the same job for very long, or whether you are new to the job market, we'll ask this question, so what job should I really then do? Now, the world has a model that helps us to find the way, to find our way, to find work that the world say we will enjoy and will be good for us. And many Christians, and I did career counseling in my previous job, many Christians use the same model as the world. Almost all of them use this model without knowing it. And it's inherently unhelpful. The world basically says, find what you like. And they call it passion. That makes it sound a bit more religious and more deep. But whatever. Find what you really like. And then find, within the realm of the things that you really like, find something of that you really like, that you're really good at. So I really like rugby, but I'm not really good at rugby. But I'd really also like tennis. I'm really good at tennis. Okay, I'm going to go with tennis. And then you find something that can really make money. Now, that depends how good you are at tennis. If you're also good at golf. But anyway, the world tries to find that intersection, that where that little smiley face is. You try to find where those three circles intersect, right in the middle. You'd find something that you love, that you're passionate about, that you've got the skill to do, and that makes money. Win. Okay? Win. Most people would say that's the win. And then Christians would call their passion the way God made them, and therefore equate it to their calling. He made me really good with rugby. Yeah, he made you big and strong, and you learned to catch a ball, but like, he might have called you for it, but he might not have. It doesn't mean the fact that you like it and you can do it, that he made you and you have to. Are you with me? But anyway, so don't say because you like it, it's a like equals passion equals calling. Scripture also tells us that those who have come to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So when we come to Christ, we crucify all of the passions and desires, and we come to Christ and we receive from him new life, and in relationship with him, we discover passions and desires that we know we've received from Him and that is from Him, and them we clothe ourselves with. With regarding to skills, it's very important that we upskill. It's very important that we are skillful. It says King David ruled with integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. But it also says, 1 Corinthians 1, that God chooses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. Why would He choose fishermen to preach the gospel who were not educated? Why would He do that? Because that's the glory of God. Even Paul himself said he had a specific issue that we're not sure what exactly it was, and God didn't want to deliver him and said, my strength is made perfect in skill. Weakness. God uses us in our weakness. So we have to be open for that. So we can't only stay within our skill set and call it gifts and say, because I've got this gift, I have to do it, you know. Be careful of that. There are gifts that God has given that you must do it. That's true as well, but we tend to play this thing the way that it suits us. Then with regards to provision, we've spoken about this, but Scripture clearly says that we're not working for money, but for the kingdom of God, and then God provides. So that doesn't fit the model. What does fit the model better is, or what might be a better model, is the following one. It's also three circles. Yes. So you already understand how this works. Okay. And I want you to write this down and to make an effort of working through this on your own. You can share this on your WhatsApp groups also later to remind yourself. We need to get ministering straight away, so I'm going to run through it very quickly. But what it comes down to in essence is, if you want to know what you do, and when I do career counseling now, we pray and you pray and you go and read up all the prophecies and things that you've received from the Lord that speaks firstly to who He says you are. Not what you should do, who you are. Because if God says, if I tell you, you must play rugby, then you will go play rugby, come back and ask me, what should I do now, right? But if I tell you, you are a rugby player, what will you do? You'll play rugby. It's more powerful, and it establishes us if we know what the things He says over us. So I know that He has called me a war horse. He's called me a battle axe and a weapon of war, for instance. So sometimes I come into situations and I realize I'm gonna have to cause a certain amount of damage now. Oh Lord, is this you? Like an Old Testament prophet that's gonna cause chaos to the hearts of the people. No, I'm not that, thank goodness. That's more Retief's vibe. But so then, because I know who I am, I will endure that which God has laid out before me to do. Because I know who I am. I know this is part of it. Who does He says you are? When I wake you up at 3 a.m. in the morning and say, who does God say you are? Will you start to smile and just read out from memory the things that He's lovingly told you, who He says you are? I sometimes read them on my list and I just weep. I can't believe that He would say such things about me. I'm so broken. I'm so sinful. I'm so warped. I'm so undisciplined. I'm so useless half of the time. And then He says such things over me. How can He? But He does. And you need to know them more than anything else. He asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? So I go to God and say, I want to do exactly the things that Jesus did. And He asked, who do you say I am? So I also want to ask, who do you say I am? I don't know if that's still logically accurate, but that's what I do. I ask God to tell me that. How do we know that we know that it's He who spoke to us? Through confirmation. That's how we know. So that's the only way we can really know. I do not trust people that come out of the quiet time the whole time and tell me exactly what God said always and say, this is what God said. I don't trust that. That has to be confirmed, because the Word of God even says everything must be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If it's a real solid word from God, it'll be confirmed somehow. Now, through the Spirit of God, He speaks to you. His voice through dreams, whatever it is, let's call it His voice that speaks to you in a variety of ways. That's one way that you hear Him. Then His Word speaks to you independently from that, independently from your own experience with Him. The Word speaks to you and confirms some of those things. And His body speaks to you and confirms some of those things. And then you know. Then you know. Are you with me? The things that have been confirmed like that, you write them down. Who do you say I am? From there, you could ask him the next question and say, so what have you called me for? Because I might know that I'm a rugby player, but what exactly have you called me for in that space? Give me missions. What are they? To preach to the Gentiles, to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to build an ark. What is it? Ask him. Wrestle with him. He reveals more and more as you go. I've got about five of those things that are pillars in my life, and that's all I do. Wrestled out with God over 10, 15 years, and that's what I do with my life. It feels very sweet to know that. I'm not doing stuff that I cannot relate back to, knowing where I received it from him as part of his mission. And then finally, we ask him a much less important question, but a very good question also is, where are you calling me to be right now? What's the season? Now. Now, sometimes he lets us choose that if we know the others well. And sometimes we just want to know the season one. What do you want me to do? I just got this job offer. Must I take it or not? Is it the season for this? Isn't it? But that's then a confusing space, and a lot of people just do not really get the answer to that question ever. Have you realized? And then they just take the one that has the high salary. So make sure you get this down so that when you need to make life and career decisions, that you could do it in this way. I think it's a helpful way. Demi, could you guys please come up? And then I'm going to ask Retief and Edna, would you also be willing to minister if the need be? So we're going to have two ministry teams, one on that side, as I guess you're not going to jump over the, do the symptoms jump over the benches or come down the aisles? Oh, very rarely. So with Aubrey, Rista, and Stefani, would you guys mind being there, over there, and you could join them if there's need be, Retief, and then Ruth and Yvette and Gerhard, if you guys could be over there. We're going to worship the Lord, and I really want you to respond tonight. I want you to respond to any hint and not try to justify why you maybe shouldn't or don't have to respond or can think about it later. But if there's something, come to the front and pray with someone. Do something about the conviction in your heart. Are you with me? Do something about the conviction in your heart. There are people that are ready to pray with you. You guys can start going to your stations. So while we worship, I want you to come to the front. If you know throughout this word something struck your heart, if you've been hurt by the curse work has been to you, almost all of you put up your hand and said, I've been hurt by work. I need to just declare that this is a blessing and not a curse. We want to pray with you, and I want you to declare that it is a blessing, and Ask God for that healing. If you struggle with money, and you realize I actually do work for money and not for God, or I just think about it too much, or I really want to be rich, or I'm really afraid of not having enough. That might be some of our thing. I really feel that. You're just really afraid you might not have enough. We'd really like to pray with you. He's your Father. And then if you say, well, I just cannot see the redemptive purpose of my work. I cannot just see how the work I do can have any kingdom impact at all. I come so that we can pray for you and just trust God to open your eyes to see. And if you've not been working in response to God, but in response to other things, you're not working in His business intentionally, come and repent for that as well. You can all stand with us, and you guys can maybe do like I don't know what, music stuff. Yeah, once we get going, you can do that song. So you're either going to get ministered to, and if you need to run for the children a bit later, then please do, but if you need to stay for ministry when the time's over, please do stay. If you realize that you have broken God's boundaries and you need to repent of that, please come to the front while we worship and repent of that boundaries and ask God for the grace to stay within Sabbath, love, wisdom, and outside of out of anxiety. And lastly, the team is going to prophesy over you, whatever. At the end, they're going to just release words, whatever they feel on their hearts. It's your responsibility to go test that and only take it when it's confirmed, when it confirms something. Is that good? Okay, who of you need to respond? Yes, I know. Come on. Lord, I pray that you would do some work in our hearts tonight as we just worship and pray for each other. In Jesus' name, let's worship Him, and please come to the front and let the team minister with you.
We're going to just continue and finish up in ministry, but you know by now you're welcome to pick up your kids, grab a coffee, and enjoy your week, but you're welcome just to enjoy the presence of the Lord. And we just pray a grace over these fingers. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. But otherwise, God bless this week. Thank you, Father. Amen.